One thing she said to me is, now don't you say anything about my birthday from the pulpit. And I didn't. But I want to thank you for your kindness to us. And thank you. I took her out for a special meal yesterday and then had to eat a quick and get home. But anyway, we had a drive here and a good time together. So, how old are you, honey? 47. I think she's 47. We have a son, 54, but she's 47. I want you to take your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah again. We're going here farther on the gates as we study these gates here. And I want you to go down to verse 26. How many can remember Watergate? Raise your hand if you can remember. Now, I was too young to remember Watergate, and I think I better ask forgiveness for that one. But we often think of Watergate, which was the break-in of the Democratic Party, and then Nixon was about to be impeached, which is very interesting that they're considering impeaching our president by a group of guys who have no idea what the scripture teaches. And that's what I don't want to talk about is the scripture. I want you to go to verse 26 of chapter 3, if you will, please, and look with me there tonight for a moment. He says, moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, and to the place over against the water gate. Remember these gates? We looked at the sheep gate, which speaks of our Savior, the fish gate, which speaks of soul seeking, the old gate there, the sheep gate spoke we as sheep, and then the old gate, the moving on down here, the valley gate, the dung gate, all these gates. Now we're at the water gate. Now, in Scripture, water is very symbolic of the Scriptures. It was Spurgeon who said every morning, we need to get up and wash our face in the Word of God. And I believe that with all my heart. So tonight, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects tonight is the Scriptures, the Bible. And I'm thinking over there of something I had written in my Bible, and I want to read it to you about the Scriptures, and then we will look at the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired. Therefore, God is God-breathed. The Word of God is inerrant. Therefore, it is free from error. The Word of God is infinite. Therefore, it's eternal. The Word of God is illuminating. Therefore, it penetrates our thoughts, our hearts, quickens our conscience, and conquers our will. The Word of God is inescapable, and one day we will have to answer for what we did with it. You know, there are people today who despise the book, the Bible. There are those who doubt it. There are those who distort it. There are those who deny it, but there are those who disregard it. I think that probably is a lot of people in their Bible-believing churches. I'm glad today you wouldn't despise it, you wouldn't doubt it, you wouldn't distort it, you would not deny it, but you may disregard it. And I want to talk about the sacred book tonight, the Bible, and I want to deal with that. Now, there are those who like to have the Bible more clear. I've had people tell me, I said, I don't understand it. One of the things that you ought to be very grateful for that you as a human being cannot understand the Bible. Because it is a divine book that only the Holy Spirit who wrote it can make it known to you. It is not a human way we can understand this book. It is a divine way, and only the Spirit of God can reveal the meaning of the book. That's why God doesn't make it clear to you and I. Without the Holy Spirit, it's definitely not clear. And I remember the first time I ever read the Bible through, I would think it was about 18 years old. It was after some tragedies in my own personal life. Wasn't saved yet, but I read it through from Genesis to Revelation, or concordance, whatever, and read it all the way through. Didn't understand a word of it. But it was my search for God, and I'm thankful that although I didn't find him, he found me. And God saved my soul. And he didn't save me because I read the Bible through. He saved me because I was willing to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Now, I want to give you tonight, I want to give you five levels of making the Word of God a reality in your life. Five levels of making this book really alive in your life. Making the Word of God a reality. Make it alive in your life. And I want to give you these tonight. And I want you, the first one is hearing the Word of God. In other words, listening to it. Now, think with me tonight as we go over there. Why would I put that one down? That's why you're here tonight, to listen to the Word of God. Amen? Let him speak. Now, the first order, the first level, I believe, is that level. That's the church. There's a couple references. The first one I have you to turn to is the book of 1 Timothy. Turn there with me and look over there in 1 Timothy. And look with me in chapter 3, and that's one of those 3:16 verses of the Bible. In chapter 3, verse 16 we'll see in a minute. But verse 15 of chapter 3, but if I tarry long, thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the, what? The house of God. Now this is the house of God, not because it has got walls and a ceiling and floor and all that. It's because you're here. The house of God is the house of God because God's people who know Christ, which is the church of the living God. Then he makes these statements. He says, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let me read that to you again. The pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I happen to know some people replace that word pillar and put pillow. So they come to church and take a snooze. Don't take a snooze when you come to church. Come to hear what God has to say. The pillar and the ground of truth. These things hold up what you believe in the Word of God. Then that wonderful verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believing the world, and receive up into glory. Oh, by the way, he's coming back. He's coming back. Now, what I want you to go, so we need to hear, hearing the Word of God or listening to what God has to say. Now, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, that's a book you may have a little time trying to find there. But I have you turn to Ecclesiastes, and I want you to go to chapter 5, and I want you to notice, because these two verses here, verse 1 and verse 2, 5, help us understand what you do when you come to church. What you do when you come to church. And I want you to see that in verse 1 and verse 2. Let's read them, and then we'll go back. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. See, you're here to listen to the Word of God and let him speak to you. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they have do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Now, that's a tremendous text. Almost a message within itself. But there's some things I want to point out to you here in the text that God wants to know. First of all, the church, he talks about the sacredness of God's house. The sacredness of God's house. He calls it the house of God. And when we come here together, we need to realize where we are. There is a sacred atmosphere when we assemble together, and we must realize that. It's a sacred place. Well, I not only see here the sacredness of God's place, but I notice here the seriousness of what is said. Look what else he says in the text. And not only he says, and the word keep here in verse 1 is the word for to guard. Guard thy foot. In other words, be careful when you're entering the house of God. You're not just entering a building. You're entering a house of God and the fellowship of God's people. and realize where you're entering. This is not like the Moose Club or this lodge or that lodge or whatever. This is the house of God. And it's good to belong to the house of God. And I want to say this to you tonight. If you're not a member of a local church, y'all come in and join the house of God. Become part of the family of God here. And then he says, not only here, not only to the sacredness of God's house, but the seriousness of what he said. Be more ready to hear. Whew. Be more ready to hear. Now, I hope we got young people here, and I love being around young people, but I'm going to say this as honestly as I can. I'm bothered when I come into the house of God and see a lot of young people with little games, playing games during the service time. Got quiet in here. This is not a place to play games. Did I step on your toes? Get them out of the aisle then. I'm trying to help you tonight to understand what is here. This is not just a normal meeting that you attend in any other place. This is the sacredness of this place and the seriousness of what is be said. He said, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now here's the third thought. So after he deals with here the sacredness of God's house called the house of God, and the seriousness of what is said, you're to hear it, but the sins you need to see. That's very important. You know why we give an invitation at an altar call? Because we believe that one of the purpose of hearing the Word of God is you get under conviction and you need to take care of some things. And we find here, and I want to be kind to you tonight, than to give the sacrifice, for they consider that they do no evil. I do not believe in any service that everybody who come to church is right with God. Hello? I hope you don't believe that either. Now, I'm not suggesting that you start examining everybody else, but oftentimes I've had to ask God, forgive me, as I've sat under preaching, and the preacher is preaching, and I'm thinking somebody in that congregation, I'll say, oh, Lord, I hope you deal with that guy. Lord, you deal with me. You deal with me. I'm the guy who needs the help, and I'm sure that guy that I'm thinking about needs help too, but I need to focus on my own sins and my own situation and make sure I am right with God. So he not only deals here with the sacredness of God's house and the seriousness of what is said, but he says the sins you need to be. Don't say, well, I don't do anything wrong. I don't know how many times I've come to church in my life since I've been saved and had to come to an altar or had to make things right because there was things that Spirit of God through the preacher made me feel uncomfortable, made me feel convicted, made me feel to do something about it. And I walked out of there better than I walked into church. And you should walk out better than when you walk in. Then something else, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. When you're in church, you don't let your mind wander. When the preacher's preaching, you don't begin to think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't know if I believe that or not. Let me tell you something, folks. The fourth thing here is, We need to see the smallness of ourselves in the light of the greatness of God. We're just little. Hello, we're just. Look at the verse. He said, "Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter things before God." God's listening. Don't start. I suppose if during the church service if we begin to put some of the people's thoughts in the congregation on the overhead, you'd be all mortified because you weren't focused where you needed to be focused. So the smallness here of your need I'll try it again here. The smallness of yourself in light of the greatness of God. You're just small. I'm so in it. Listen, put me next to God. I'm small. That's what he's trying to say there in verse 2. So here is the first level. Level 1, is listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. That's what church is all about. So that God will be magnified and you'll listen and your lives will be changed. My life will be changed. I'll tell you something. I'm preparing messages and I get convicted on some of the things that I bring. You been there, preacher? I mean, I get convicted. I say, brother, I better make some things right now before I go any further. Because God spoke to my heart. I was listening to the Spirit of God. Now, what is level two? So the first level is listening to the Word of God, as it says here, hearing what God has to say. That's level number one. Now, level number two, if you'll go to the book of Revelation and go there to the first chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to give you a verse here that's very vital. And this is the only book where the words are actually said. You're blessed if you read it. But I believe every book of the Bible, you're blessed if you read it. I even think of First Chronicles. Say, why are you blessed? Because it's God's word. There's names there I can't even pronounce. I have a book that interprets the pronunciation of some of those names, and I want to change their name to Bill and Louise and Henrietta and some other, but they're God's names. And by the way, a lot of those names have significant meaning. You'd never want to tamper with his word. But I bring you to verse 3 of chapter 1. Tremendous truth. And let me say here, a couple thoughts here to blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now we're talking of here learning about the Word of God. How do you learn? You read it. Hello? But it gives us some thoughts here. He says, blessed he that readeth and hear the words. That's given attention. Attention to the Bible. Now, I have to be honest with you. I hope I'm not the only one who would admit this sin. But I often have read the Bible, and my mind gets wandering. Hello? And I have to stop and say, Lord, that's sin. I am not reading one of my commentaries in my library or some other book. I'm reading the sacred book of God's Word. And I ask God to forgive me and put my focus back upon what I am reading, because I need to learn. So we need, first thing he says is give attention. And then after he deals with giving attention here in the prophecy here, let's notice here. First, attention to retention. And hear at the words. The word here means more than just reading. You're going to your spiritual ears. So he gives attention, retention. You know what the third word is? Intention. Look what he says here. Blessed is he that readeth, that gives attention. And they that hear, they hear in their spirit the words, that is retention. And keep those things which are written. That's intention. What do you do with what you read? God has a purpose for me to read the Word of God. It is that I might change. I might change. I must have some intention when God speaks to me. So I have level one is to hear that word, listening to the Word of God. Folk, number two is learning about the Word of God. By the way, now let me get here. I'm leaving in a few months, so if I step on your toes, forgive me. I'm glad to do it, though. I'm often bothered. If you had to be one of them, it's okay. I'm not trying to judge you. But please have your own Bible and have it where you can mark it. When you bring it just on a tablet, or you bring it to where it's not part of you. Am I making sense to you? Get that Bible where it's your personal Bible that you can underline it and read it, study it, mark it. Am I making any sense? I hope I am. I'm trying to help you tonight. Every one of you ought to have a personal Bible whereby It's there. Now, there's nothing wrong with a tablet, nothing wrong with those things, except sometimes people try to let us think they're on a tablet or on an iPhone when they're really playing games or talking to someone. Now, you say, "Preacher, you're not very nice tonight." Well, I want to help you. That's why I'm here. Have your Bible. Have your Bible. You have your own Bible. I didn't say your own tablet. You have your own Bible. You read it. Are you marking it? Is it part of you? Now, if you have on a plane someplace or you're someplace else, you want to read your tablet. But when you come to church, and have a mark it, underline it. Make it part of you. And you'll be blessed. Boy, it's quiet in here. Say amen, oh my. A few said, oh my. All right. So that's it. So here we have level one as we listen to the Word of God. Level two is learning about. That's why I want you to mark your Bible, put notes down. I have sermon when somebody preaches. I mark the date and I say, man, that's a good thought. I write that down. Mark that down in my Bible. I want to go back and review that. I want to learn about my Bible and about my Lord. Oh, we need that today. I'm afraid we have a shallow thoughts about God's Word today of trying to simply get you in deeper waters. You say, "Preacher, you're not getting me in deeper waters. You're getting yourself into deep trouble." Well, that's all right, too. Now, level three, as you first listen, then you learn, then you labor over the Word of God. That's why you've got to have your own personal Bible here. Look over there. If you will, please, in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Now, I don't want anybody to walk out of here saying that I'm against tablets and all that kind of thing. I'm not against them. I just want you to have your own personal Bible, whereas it becomes part of your life. I want you to turn over there, if you will, please, to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Now, that's an important verse. Very important. I want you to know, let's read it, study. Now that word study comes from a Greek word, literally means to exert yourself to the extent that you're perspiring. It's putting labor into it. It's laboring over the Word of God. That means you're intense about it. And it's interesting that this book begins here with the word thought of perspiration, study, and it ends with inspiration, the word of truth. Now, you're not going to get anything out of this book unless you're really to dig into it through the work of the Holy Spirit. God will do His work in your heart. Now, let's think about that verse for a moment here. Study here, that has the idea of perspiration. Now, notice here, as we look at this, I want you to notice what, the why, the who, and how. Do you see that in those verses? Four words: what, why, who, and how. What? Study. That's what you're to do. Study. To exert oneself. Why? Get the point here. To show thyself approved unto God. That's it. Now, I don't study and preach with the idea to impress you. I preach with the idea to express, not to impress. To express what God wants to say so we'll all be willing to change. If you're a Sunday school teacher today, thank God God gave you that gift. But you don't teach with the idea to impress, but to express the truth of what God has to say. So we have the what, you study. You have the why, to show thyself approved unto God. And the who, now get this here, who, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Who were to be? A workman. We're to be a workman, not to be ashamed. I would ask this question tonight. If we had somebody, and by the way, we had Steve said we had somebody saved in soul winning today. A lady saved. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? But how would that lady have gotten saved if these men did not understand and explain the plan of salvation? Can you do that tonight? Could you, if somebody I walked up to you and said, here is Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith, would you show them how to be saved? Could you do that? Oh, that's up for the pastor, the pastoral staff. That's up for the deacons. You've heard me say this. Well, that's the doctrine of baloney. You, everyone in this congregation, should know this book well enough that you could lead anyone to Jesus Christ and show them how to know they're saved and on their way to heaven, and it's real. You should be able to do that. Could you do that tonight? That's part of it. That's who that's that here is a workman, a workman in the need of not need to be ashamed. And then here we have the how. I'm not an Indian here. How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Make sure that you can explain. Listen, we got so many isms. Somebody said yesterday, boy, you really hit Calvinism. But one of the problems I have with Calvinism is, why am I going to name my theology after some man? Hello? I don't need to name my theology after some human being except the Lord Jesus, who is God. So we are rightly dividing the word of truth. We have those who are now trying to put the church through the tribulation, mid-trib, post-trib. We are pre-trib. So we're pre-trib. I'll get it. Well, hey, we made a mistake. Erase that. Pre-trib. But there are post-trib, mid-trib, and all kinds of things. You need to know where you stand on these things. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Be able to say, this is what God's word says concerning this particular truth. How about baptism? Why do we hold to close? Not closed. Not open, but closed baptism. We believe you've got to be saved first, amen? And you're not saved by getting baptized. But all people who are saved need to get baptized. Amen? Amen. Yeah. I'm trying to help you tonight to see these things. So here we have level number one. It is to listen to the Word of God. Learn the Word of God is the second level. Third level here is laboring over the Word of God. And the fourth level is looking to the Word of God. In other words, memorizing Scripture. Looking to the Word of God. That is coming to the place where you say, I want it to become part of my life. Now, let me say this to all of us here. your heart is the brain of your Christianity. Do you know that? It's not the head. It's the heart. But you memorize Scripture so it will do something for your heart. I want you to think with me for a moment. Turn with me to Psalm. And I read this. I hesitated to read this tonight, so I just mentioned it Sunday, but they quote the Ten Commandments 4 or 5 times in Scripture. You know where they are, don't you? Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And look over there, verses that I think I dealt with this last Sunday, but I want to just give it to you again. 9, 10, and 11. He says, wherewith shall young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereof according to the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I what? Hid where? Not your head, but your heart. Because your heart is the brain center of your beliefs. Now, I'm saying tonight here, looking to the Word of God is real key to get the Bible off of this page of Scripture. I'm glad for the print and the ink and the paper. Amen? Pardon my grammar. It ain't going to do me any good until I get it off there and get it in my heart. Look at those verses. Don't miss them. Verse 9, what will the Word of God do? It will remove the stain of sin. Remove it. You've heard my stories. My wife has, oh, bless her heart, for years has dealt with me getting stains all over, ink stains on my shirts. How many else do those things? And I get them on there, and she'll wash them and scrub them. The last time she ever did it, it's been about 5 years ago. She said, for now, you're on your own. You're on your own. And I thought, well, that's good. I can do this just as good as you can. So one day, sure enough, I left that ink pen, and it just made a spot here on my shirt. And I thought, well, I don't understand what all the problem is. And I ran that shirt under some water. First mistake. That little blob became big. Just ran over that shirt. Well, you know what I did? I threw it away. I thought, she'll never know. Been married 57 years, she knew. She knew. But the Word of God is the only thing that will cleanse that sin away. The stain that is there. Then in the next verse, it's needed, the Word, to resist the temptation of sin. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Everyone could sing that song in truth. No exceptions here tonight. But hallelujah, he will resist that temptation. Let me tell you, every time I'm tempted with a wrong thought, I do what the Scripture tells me to do. I replace that thought with the Word of God. I just start quoting Scripture. It's amazing. That thought just leaves. It can't stay. It can't handle the Word of God. And it takes off. It makes like a Baptist church and splits some churches. It just takes off. Leaves me alone. I know what I'm talking about. That's what that verse is teaching. It not only removes the stain and resists the temptation, but it reproves the act of sin. It just tells me how wrong that. Did you ever sin? I hope you have. When you sin, feel bad, feel convicted, feel, why did I do that? Then you go to the Word of God and it helps you with that. So here we have looking to the Word of God to resist, to reprove, and to remove. So there's a purpose behind this book. Not just to get it up here, but to get your life right with Him. And number 5, we started here with listening to the Word of God. Then we moved down to learning about the Word of God there as we study it, as we learn about it, or as we read it. And then we dealt here with laboring over, studying to show thyself approved, then looking to it to solve the problem. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe tonight that the Bible has an answer to every problem in your life? You better. But how do you know that if you don't get it off of here into here? What good's it going to do? And number 5, his meditating on the Word of God. As we close my portion here tonight, go to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Turn there with me to Joshua chapter 1. You're familiar with verse 8? The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, what? meditate. The word meditate has the idea like a cow chewing its cud. It has a couple stomachs in it. A chew it, swallow it, bring it up, chew it again, swallow it again, bring it back up. Meditate is keep bringing up what you memorized. Let it go over and over in your mind, meditating on Scripture. And in other words, we're to approach the Word in awe, A-W-E, and we are to approach the Word as having all the answers to all of our problems. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to what? All that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want good success in your Christian life? Get it off the page of Scripture. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And bring it up constantly to deliver you. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight as we just going to let the instruments play through rather quickly tonight, or quietly tonight, excuse me. But I'm wondering tonight, as God deals with our heart, where are you with the Bible? Where are you with it tonight? Is it become part of you? What level are you on? I'm not going to have a raise of hand ask that question, what level you're on tonight. I hope that you have been listening to the Word of God when the preacher preaches, whoever that may be, learning the Word of God by studying it, you're reading it yourself, and then literally laboring over it by with exhaustion studying it. And looking to the Word of God to solve your problems by getting it off the pages of Scripture and getting it into your heart. And then finally to meditate on it. Say, oh God, do a work tonight in my heart. As the instrument plays tonight quietly, just one stanza, whatever. If you need to find a place at the altar, say, God, your word has not been most prominent in my life. I'm not going to make it easy for you. You can just get up and leave. I'm not going to have you stand. You might say tonight, God spoke to my heart because the Word of God has lost its place. I'm not on the level. As any of these levels, how important are they? God dealing with your heart tonight. We'll wait until God is through here at the altar before we turn it over for prayer. But tonight, if God is dealing with you tonight, we pray tonight, you'll find that place. Say, God, that's me tonight. God spoke to my heart. Is there anyone like that at all? All right. Turn it over to Daniel, and then you'll turn it over to Brother Shannon tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Stevens, for that message. Just have a couple missionary letters just to kind of give you some highlights of, and then I'll call Shannon up and he will lead our prayer meeting from that point. You'll see in your prayer bulletin, if you have one, you can grab it out and you can see the missionaries that are listed there. But we have Solomon and Christiana Oluwabi, and they're in Nigeria. And they just in their most recent letter, which is from July and August, just expressed their thanks, obviously, as many missionaries as they often do open these letters with thanks just for our support. But one of the things that they mention in their letter is that Nigeria has become a rather dangerous place to minister. And so as you see their name, especially just want to remember them in prayers as they minister in a place that is a dangerous place in some senses, and as they continue to try to get the gospel out. But they rejoice that they've had a lot of people that have begun recently to get involved with their soul-winning ministries at the church as they get people engaged in what they have going on in the church and through the church. And so we can rejoice in that with them as they rejoice with what God is doing there. And their Christian school that they have there, their day school, that is really serving one primary purpose outside of educating boys and girls, and that is the sharing of the gospel, has been doing very well. And so they've been seeing a lot of good growth with their school as they try to reach people with the gospel, and growth in their soul-winning teams. And so we can rejoice with them and continue to pray with this couple and those who are working with them. And then the next one down the list there I'm not even really going to try to pronounce that, but you can see their name there. I guess I'll say the Boanerji or something like that, family in the Philippines. But they, in their most recent letter, share, I just wanted to read this to you, as they share these different results from some evangelistic campaigns in April. They had professions to faith. This is what all these are here. In April, they had 391. In May, 201. And then in June, 199 people profess Christ as their Savior. And so they're working at following up with all those. But we can thank the Lord that we have been able to be part of what they're doing there. And you might hear those numbers. You might think, wow, that's a lot of people. And I've, in just the last 10 years or so, in the encounters that I've had with people who go over oftentimes and minister in the Philippines, often come back with numbers like these that would make us stop and just kind of shake our heads. And if we're cynical, which we all kind of have a tendency to be at times, we think, oh, I don't know about that. But what we really ought to do, number one, obviously, is rejoice. And remember that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. And realize that there are places in this world where revival is actually happening. And we pray for it all the time here. And we wish and we hope and we would love to see things like this. But I've had friends who have been in those areas, in those meetings, as they see God do things like this. And it's amazing to stop and think about. But we can rejoice in knowing that we have been able to be part of what God has done in that. And they ask one prayer request specifically, pray for their physical. I'm just going to read what they write here. Physical, spiritual, and spiritual strength, and for God's wisdom. I pray that God would provide additional support for their ministry. And they say that they love us and are praying for us and our church. And so thankful for these missionary prayer requests. And we just wanted to share a couple of those with you this evening. And so I'm going to call Shannon now. He's going to come to the platform. And as he's coming, I'll make this one last announcement, and I'll leave this here, Shannon. You can try to touch this at the end. At the end of the service, if we can have 10 men and teen boys to head over to the gym and help us set up tables for the ladies' event that's coming up this Saturday, we would greatly appreciate that. Shannon?
If you want to take out your prayer list, and on the side, left side, under prayer requests, I have a few that we'll mention especially, and I will pray for those later. I'll ask Jordan and Stephen to come and be ready to pray for us here in just a minute. The couple we want to add and pray specifically for, Brother John Mineta, if you were here Sunday night, he was able to be here with us Sunday night as a blessing, but we still need to keep him in your prayers for his foot and healing there. Also, I want to remember Carol Hayes has surgery on tomorrow morning at 7:30. Outpatient surgery, so remember Carol. And also Tanya Fish. She will have surgery. This is Connie Fish's daughter-in-law, and she will have surgery again to repair her retina. This will be the third attempt to try to repair this. So we need to pray for her especially as she has this surgery again to try to get this repaired. So as we pray for these, I will pray for these especially at the end. I'm going to have Jordan to pray for the middle section here, our church ministries, and Stephen will follow him and pray for our missionaries specifically that was mentioned tonight. And then I will close us in prayer, praying for these special requests and the ones in the hospital, and also praying especially for our church and our pulpit committee as we continue the process of finding the pastor for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Jordan, if you'll come and pray, please.
Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to serve you, to dive into your word, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the message tonight, Lord. I pray that each member here, Lord, that we would just immerse ourselves in your word, Lord, that each day that you would just grow us, Father. I pray, Lord, this week and tonight specifically, Lord, for the Sunday school class of the 11th and 12th grade young men, Lord. Father, what a critical time in their life. Satan has many snares for these young men. I pray, Lord, that you'd just help Brother Bobby as he's leading this class, Lord. Just grow these young men, raise them up to be pillars of the next church that's coming on, Lord. I pray, Lord, for our welcome center, for David and Mary Ellison, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd just help them, Lord, and Larry and Linda Stover, Lord. I pray, Lord, specifically for them tonight, that you would just help and use them in their ministry, Lord. I pray, Lord, that when visitors come to this church, Lord, may they feel welcome, Lord. May they feel the love, Lord, and it lead them to the love of Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, for the bus routes, Lord, what a blessing the bus ministry is, Father, and these kids. God, I pray, Lord, that each week that we could show them the love of Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, for bus route number 4 this week. Lord, I pray for Brother Tom, Steve, and Isaac as they're working there, laboring for you, Lord. Lord, we are to be an image of you, Lord, and to show you, to show your love to this community. And Father, what a blessing, Lord. I also pray for Brother Bonetta, Lord. Thank you for his labor there, Lord. And Lord, thank you for his example that he's laid for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would all just have a fire for to see this community grow for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Miss Betty Page this week, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd just watch over her as she helps take care of your house, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd just bless her, give her strength to labor for you, Lord. And the deacons this week, Father, I pray, Lord, for Davis and Angela there, Lord. Lord, just I want to thank you for our deacons and the labor that they do for us, Lord. And there's they're serving, looking for our next pastor, Father. What a burden to carry for you, Lord. But these men, I pray, Lord, that you'd just strengthen them, Father. Just give them what they need. Lead them. Give them unity, Lord. Thank you for the unity that we've seen thus far, Lord. Lord, that's from you. Lord, thank you for being real to our deacons, Lord, for being real in their life. I pray, Lord, that you'd just continue to use them, bless them, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer, we thank you that we can come to you for everything. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and how it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you that it will not return void. I thank you that the Word of God is preached, that no matter who is here or what is preached, that it will convict and it will show those where they need to change. And I thank you how you worked in my heart. Lord, we think of these missionaries and for Solomon and Christina in Nigeria. Lord, we thank you and praise your name for how you've worked in their hearts, worked in the folks that are involved. We thank you that the folks are stepping up and they're wanting to go soul winning and telling folks about Christ. We thank you for the school ministry and how it is growing and how kids are hearing of Christ. And once again, the Word of God will not return void. Pray for their safety as they're going out. There's a lot going on over there, and war is raging there. And I pray that you'll give them safety, put a hedge of protection around them as they are traveling throughout and telling folks about Jesus. Lord, we think of this couple in the Philippines. Lord, give them strength as they requested strength for physically and mentally and spiritually. I'm sure it's a lot of work that they're going through. Lord, I pray that you'll give their support as they requested also that you will show people that their need is great. Lord, I pray that you will work in those hearts. Lord, we thank you for the 700 souls that are saved. Praise your name that 700 people have now found Christ and that they do not have to see the fires of hell. We praise your name for that. Lord, I pray that for a revival in our church, that we could see that same result here in Johnson City and Kingsport area. We just pray that you will show that here as well. Help us to get a hold of the gospel and tell folks about Christ. Thank you for this one that was saved today, this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this folks in New Guinea. I pray that you will give them strength and wisdom as they're over there. Help them as they're going throughout their daily tasks just to give them the burden of Christ to those folks. Well, we thank you for everything you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, as we close in prayer tonight, Lord, we think of these specifically that we've mentioned, Brother Mineta. Lord, thank you for working in his life And, Lord, these health problems that he's been having, Lord, and his foot, Lord, I just pray that you'll especially minister to him and Miss Mineta, Lord. Thank you for the passion they have for our children and the ministry here at this church. Lord, we pray for Carol Hayes and Tawny Fish, both with upcoming eye surgeries. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch in a special way. Lord, we pray for successful procedures. Lord, that you'll see to it that the recovery is well. Lord, I pray, Lord, for these in the hospitals. We pray for Georgia Yance and Betty Jenkins, Lord, both in NHC. Lord, just pray for as they work daily and go through rehab, Lord, that you'll help them gain strength. Lord, we think of our shut-in, Miss Elsie Colley. Lord, I pray you'll be with her. Lord, pray for Mary Casey, Lord, in the Greystone Nursing Home. Lord, I pray that you'll be with Brent. Lord, thank you, Lord, for him serving our country. And, Lord, I pray that you'll protect him, Lord, as he continues to serve. And, Lord, I pray for our government, many government officials, Lord, specifically these listed, that you'll touch in a special way, Lord, as they serve our country. Help us to be one not to complain, Lord, but to pray. Lord, we need to pray for our country, pray for our leaders. We pray, Lord, that you'll just touch in their decisions that they make. Lord, give them godly wisdom. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, thank you for the message about your word and the importance of your word in our life. Lord, where would we be without the word of God? Thank you, Lord, that even this verse that's on our prayer list, praying for wisdom, Lord, in James 1:5. Lord, we need your wisdom. Lord, I pray for our pulpit committee, Lord, as I'm part of that, I need your wisdom. Lord, we all need the wisdom from above. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, as we continue, Lord, to seek your will in the next pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, we pray for our ladies' event this weekend. Lord, what an opportunity we have to reach out into this community and invite ladies to come. Lord, our own ladies at this church to minister together. Lord, lifting up the name of Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they gather, Lord, the Holy Spirit would work among them, Lord, and give them a good event on Saturday. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please, men, if you can help with the tables and chairs, please go over to the gym and we'll get those set.